Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, titled, The Consummation. This is part 2 of 2.
That's some scary stuff. When you read about what has happened in history, I mean, you read about Pompeii and Vesuvius, and you see what's going over in Kailua and Hawaii right now, and you realize that's nothing. And you read about the Armenian genocide and the Holocaust in Nazi Germany and all the martyrs that the popes have had put to death by the millions and all the tens of millions that the communist dictators or communist regime leaders have put to death over the years. And we, according to Jesus, that's still not comparable to what we're going to see when all this stuff happens. Isn't that something? Johnny?
No, it's just like another thing I imagine you put on that list. Was it the Aztecs or something that did hundreds and hundreds of sacrificing people?
Thousands and thousands. They don't even know how many. They found graves with thousands of bodies here and there. And it's all sacrifices. There was one particular sacrifice that they found record of that was thousands of people just that one time. We watched it, trying to think of what documentary we were watching when they showed all that. And a little clarification, all three sevens, the seals, trumpets, and vials, are the wrath of God. There's people who try to act like only the last 3.5 years, or some people even push it right to the very end of the 7 years. It says in Revelation 16:16-17, people were actually calling on the mountains to fall. It says, they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And that's in this period of time, the second 3.5 years on that chart again. And the desolation that we speak of in Daniel 9:27 clearly coincides with that cup that we just read about being filled in the seven seals. In Revelation 15:1 it says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them, that's talking about the vials, in them is filled up the wrath of God. And there's that chart again. I just didn't mean to put that in there twice, but we'll put that online. So scripture with scripture, not wanting to insult anybody, but you got to be very careful because there are a lot of people who are novices or they're very apathetic about the Bible in general, and they're people who are confused on what really the Bible is saying, and they're trying to teach people. And they will not get this. And there's a lot of confusion out there. And a lot of people just say, oh, it's just so complicated, I'll throw my hands up in the air. Well, then it's too bad Jesus misled us. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be truly furnished unto all good works. So here's the quick chronology of what we've read. In the midst of the week, there's this abomination that takes place. That then is the seventh trumpet, which brings us the seven seals. And the full wrath is in those seven seal judgments. So there's going to be utter desolation for 3.5 years. How many of you have seen any kind of movie where the world is just in that kind of a dark condition? I never did get into those kind of movies, so I don't know very many examples. But I did see The Lord of the Rings. And there's times in The Lord of the Rings where it is so dark and there's so much war and all this. And I would tell the girls who were, you know, in their teens, high school age, and when all those movies came out, I'd say that is comparable to what it's going to be like during this time we're talking about. So when you watch, you see anything like that, that's what you can think of. And the this will all be consummated by the return of Jesus. Right there at the very end of our chart, see up in the red, return. Revelation 19, 11 and 12. The consummation ends with the return of Jesus and the what? Consummation and marriage. Let's look at it. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, we'll start verse 11. The other day, the clouds, it was one of those days where there's really neat looking gray, dark gray clouds, and then this hole just opens up and the sun shining through. Real dark everywhere else, but right in that one, and I thought of these words, and I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And I was rooting for it, but I know it's not actually the time for it yet. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now this is what Jesus looks like now. And this is why when people say they go to heaven and they see somebody who looks like Eddie Rabbit or Kenny Loggins, when they see Jesus, we know they're not seeing the real Jesus. Because this is a description of Jesus here. Look at verse 12. Read that with me. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And you can read about that more in Revelation 1. And look what it says. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word, capital W there, Charlie. The Word of God. Now, Jesus was a lovely, patient, compassionate Savior the first time He came. And when we're raptured, I think we're all going to be able to just spend time with Jesus in His presence, in the after the judgment seat, especially during the marriage supper, and all that. I think it's going to be an awesome time. But there's a time, and we're reading right here, where he comes, as Exodus called him, a man of war. His vesture is dipped in blood. And here we are in verse 14, if you want to know your future. Read verse 14 with me. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now we're coming behind him, and we're going to see something awesome in verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that's what we'll see in a moment, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And I believe what that's saying is the sharp sword is the two-edged sword called the Word of God. The Word of God speaks the Word of God. And by just His Word, He is going to destroy His enemies when He returns. And verse 16 says, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, read that with me, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that awesome? And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. This is that consummation that we're reading about in Daniel 9:27. It's not pretty. Verse 18, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Now verse 19, read that. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Boy, I would not want to be in that army. They are gathering to war against King Jesus. And it says in verse 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Didn't say they were fake. He wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And read verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Ain't that something? And that's that consummation. While Daniel speaks of the consummation, Revelation speaks of the marriage. You see that connection? Daniel and Revelation go together so well, but a lot of times they'll use different words describing the same event. And when Daniel talks of the consummation, Revelation speaks of the marriage. And there's a little artistic rendering. And there's not a lot of people hearing this kind of preaching these days, because it's not all a big love fest. You know? There's some ugliness to it, because sin is ugly, rebellion is ugly, Satan is ugly, the Antichrist is ugly, the beast is ugly, and the tribulation period is going to be the ugliest time in human history. But I just want to point out, that's me right there. Now, we already said, if you look real close, you can see that's Charlie. Yeah. Yeah, he's blocking my view. Can't see her. Ain't that good? I mean, if you're on the right side, it's good. And I hope and pray you're on the right side. That's our prayer. All right, Q&A. Anybody got some questions? You're the next contestant. All right, take some questions.
This is a question and a comment at the same time. Because I was thinking, so we've talked about the mark of the beast. And so I noticed, I think, I can take it for granted sometimes, the fact that, you know, nowadays we've got a pretty good idea of what we think the mark of the beast will be. So I guess the question would be, and I mean, we've seen a little bit of this, but what have you found on what people used to think it was before we knew about chips and stuff?
From what I can see, up until the computer age, everybody thought it was going to be a tattoo. I haven't found any. Now, I have to say the cults had their own ideas. The Seventh-day Adventists used to teach, and there's still radicals among them that teach, that if you go to church on Sunday, you have the mark of the beast. That doesn't make any sense, I know, but that's what they teach. And there's been some other wild ideas. But, yeah, up until the computer age, and then since then, it's gone from a microchip to now they've got, you know, they actually have tattoos that go into the skin, kind of, and use your own body's electrical system to power it. And then they use a scanner. And, of course, now they're making it so where you don't even have to have someone scanning you. They're going to have it so you can walk into a grocery store, and it's already here. There's people already doing this. And I can walk in the grocery store, fill up my basket, and walk out, and not even say hi to the cashier. And they scan everything as you're walking out the door, and it automatically deducts from your bank account. And as you go through the first doors, they scan you, and go through the second door, and you pull your receipt. So I think that, you know, as long as the Lord tarries, we're constantly going to be tweaking what we think the mark of the beast is. But I think we still stick, no matter what, we stick to that main point. We know that it is a mark, and that it is, you will not be accidentally marked. There's people who are afraid that they're going to, you know, go into the doctor's office and he's going to be part of the Antichrist system and mark them. When you take the mark, you are purposely taking allegiance to the Antichrist, and you'll know you're doing it when you do it. And they want you to know you're doing it, because if you don't, then they're going to actually kill you then. So, Doug, do you have something?
Yeah, I just want to say that the higher some of the clearance that people have and stuff like that, they say that some places that you use your retinas.
Yes. Yeah, they're using retina, facial recognition, all kinds of possibility.
About the Lord spoke the world into existence, and then he's going to speak and fire going to come out of his mouth and destroy the one that begins the
against him. Yeah. Christian. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the word of his mouth, he spoke the worlds into existence, and he'll speak you out. As parents tell their children, I brought you into this world. All right. Time for one or two more if you got them.
All right. At 12 says, does the strong delusion have to do with the mark? When the Bible says that they shall believe a lie and be damned.
Yes. And hello, Aaron. One of my buddies. The mark is a choice. So you're deluded to begin with, but I believe scripture with scripture, when a person takes the mark, they're done. That they are handed over completely. And they that's who will have the strong delusion, are those who have the mark of the beast. And one leads to another in a sense, but there's people today, I believe that if you offered them something and told them it was the mark of the beast, they'd take it. That's how wicked they are already. And then after the rapture, people are going to choose to believe that when y'all disappear, and I'm going with you, when we all disappear, that it was either an alien invasion, the invasion of the body snatchers, you know, or the New Agers think it's going to be a spiritual thing where we've all gone to be reprogrammed, kind of going off to a cultural diversity training or something out in the great unknown. And then, so then, think of that. This is possible. Then, when we return, that we just read in Revelation 19, they might be thinking, oh good, now they're coming back and they'll help us rebuild and get things back because they've been re-educated. And, I mean, it could be. And then they realize, wait a minute, that doesn't look like they're here for good things here. If they don't look happy, especially that guy in the beard right in the front. Yeah, I hope you do, so I can just walk up and say, I told you so. All right, you got another one?
Yeah, Aaron says, hello, Pastor Greg. Do you think that the lie behind the mark is the promise of eternal life?
Well, that could be part and parcel, because right now they're pumping everybody up into believing that they're going to have artificial intelligence and they're going to make realistic robots. And I hate to say this, but it's got to be said that the motivation right now is to have sex robots. And they're making them as realistic as possible. They're already selling them in some countries. And then they're trying to make them with artificial intelligence so they learn. And so they interact just like a human being would. And so they then say that we should reach a point. Some are promising, like in 50 years, that instead of you dying and calling hospice in, you know, and all that, when you reach a point where they think you're going to die, they will download your brain into an AI robot. And that you will then, your brain and all your personality and who you are and everything will be in. I don't believe that's possible. I just don't believe it's possible. I think they could download information and a robot could claim to be you. But I just don't think that's possible. I think that's where God draws the line. But still, that promise and that belief is a delusional thing, and they could be promising that as part of the thing with the mark of the beast. You know, they'll have their own version of an altar call, promising eternal life. And when you come forward, instead of being baptized, you get the mark. That's all possible. All right, let's go ahead and stand if you would. I want to sing a song. How many of you hear this song? Some of us have sung it. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. One more time. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Amen. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We love Bible study. We love to fellowship with the brethren. We love to sing about Jesus and sing about being with Jesus. And we just love everything that you blessed us with. We look forward to being with you. Lord, I pray you'll bless each one going out tonight with safe travel home. Bless our week. Motivate us and give us opportunity to tell others about Jesus and what he has done to save souls. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen.
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 Every day he rose again, no matter what.
attention to these lyrics.
Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.